start with Peivav Tfilu Ludavidatei Hashem Aznecha Aneni Ki Ani Vavion Ani. So first of all, we talked about this before, how we said earlier Kalu Tfilus Dov Ben Yishai, that the Tfilus Dov Ben Yishai were over, and these were all Bnei Korachim and Azrachi, etc. But clearly, even Asaf or whatever it is, David Melech is still involved, because this Tilim comes out of nowhere with everything being Asaf's up until now and a few others that are Bnei Korach next. In a Peivav, we clearly see Tfilu Ludavidatei Hashem Aznecha, turn your ear, Hashem, and any answer me, Kiyani Vavyonini, because I'm poor and I'm so needy. This he said when he was running away from Shaul HaMelech, which is interesting that it's put in the middle of nowhere over here, but put right over here itself. Now, the pshat is that listen to my prayers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there are prosecutors, there are accusers out there who are telling me that I did something wrong or I said something wrong. So knock them out, silence them, right, because I know I don't deserve anything, but nonetheless, allow me to be answered by you because of what he had. Now, he's going to have seven pleas over here. That's going to be the first one is Hatei Hashem Aznecha Aneini. That's the first one, but it's going to keep going throughout the whole thing. The whole thing is going to be about seven altogether. Try to lift himself up by up, each Shemayim, to get up to the seventh level of heaven, so to speak, over there. And he had the neshama, apparently, of Adam Rishon, has learned out from this pasuk, and I don't know how, but he says he fasted for 130 years, and that's when he's like, Ani v'evyonini, because of how long he fasted, how long he was afflicted for. Shama nafshi ki chasidani, keep my soul, because I'm a chasid, hosha abdecha, savior, servant, ataloka, you are my God, habotech elecha, because I trust in you when it comes through that. So, one of the things that he said that I'm a chassid is the fact that this starts from the Gemara itself. He's a chassid. Well, all the kings of the East and the West are talking about their own greatness and what they were able to do, etc. He would go ahead and he would answer shilas that dealt with Hilchos Nida and with childbirth and with little babies, fetuses, etc. That's what he would do at that time. And not only that, but every time he had a kasha, he would always ask his Rebbe Mephibosheth, and he'd ask Mephibosheth, did I judge this correctly? Did I do this correctly? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? He'd ask him everything. How many people ask a shaila to their Rebbe about every little thing when they themselves are a great man? That shows truly what kind of a chassid he was, how great of a person he was. Another thing that he does is he awoke really early in the morning. He got up really, really early in the morning in order to learn. That's another thing that's absolutely great. Here's another thing that he did. He saved Shaul HaMelech's life, not once, but twice. Two times he could have killed Shaul HaMelech when he was in the cave, going to the bathroom, and the second time when everybody was asleep around him. And yet he didn't do that once. And that's the idea that I'm a chassid in that way. Rabbi Abbas in the name of Alexandria, anybody who hears himself being cursed and is silent, even though he can respond, is considered a chassid. And David Mel said, I've heard people make fun of me all the time, but I did not say anything whatsoever. I wouldn't take nekama, I wouldn't kill anyone, even if they profaned my honor, because remember, people were telling David Mel, if you were over on Eish HaSish, that you had done this again and again and again, and not once did he say that. That's the pshat. He kept as many mitzvahs as he could, and then he's calling himself a chassid over there. Now, he says three reasons why he should be able to be saved. He said, number one, I am your servant, Avdecha, right? Number two, Hatolokai, you are my God, and therefore I deserve to be saved. And number three, Avoteach Elecha, my Mida of Bitachon should be enough to be able to save me when it comes to that. That's the concept behind it. The Zohar says a cute, I don't want to say cute because it's a Zohar, but it says a drush on this passage that, save me from ever saying that I am a chassid. Allow me to never say such a line. I just want to say that was there. Chanini Hashem ki elecha kol kol yom. Give me favor and grace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I call out to you every single day. Now, obviously, the entire night we say that David Melech was steeped in davening or whatever it was, and that he was sleeping somehow, whatever. But we all know that he got up at Chatzos Laila in order to wake up and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he had no real time for other things to be able to do. He was so filled with that, with learning and davening as much as he could at night. There's no time for sleep. And the day, I would sure suffered because of it. He wasn't as effective as he could have been during the day. He's willing to do it because of all the learning that he wanted to do, and that's the idea behind it. Another thing is that right, Devin Wells is asking for an undeserved gift even though he didn't get it. So compared to a doctor, this idea who's paid on a yearly basis, if a doctor's being paid on a yearly basis, right, so he'll give you a slow moving medicine, he'll heal you a little bit now and a little bit later, and as time goes on, like, eventually you'll be healed, and sometimes it's good, sometimes bad, because it gives you a lot more pain. If a doctor is being paid on a, you know, you'll see me once and that's that, but he's not gonna whatever anything else, he wants you healed right like that, because he knows he's not coming back, he's not gonna see you again, so he's gonna do it when it comes to that. But that I want to say the time when he gets healed like that, obviously it's going to hurt a lot, and it's going to be a lot right there. So that's what he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to call out to you all the time. I don't have any time. I want to be Ekra Kolayom. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day has a good thing to it, and unfortunately also has a bad thing to it. Sameach Nefesh Avdecha, make happy the Nefesh of your servant, Kielach HaShem and Nafshi Yaso, because I daven to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea. There's a line over here from Lamab, but we're going to stop with that. Kiyat HaShem Tov V'Salach, because you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are good, and you're ready to pardon, you're ready to give Slicha, V'Rav Chatzalach HaKarecha, you're filled with Chesed for anybody who calls out. So the word Salach is an interesting line over here. It's not Soleach, which is a forgiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or someone that forgives about what's going to be. It's Salach. Salach means always ready to pardon. Always ready, waiting for someone to do it. And as soon as it happens, he's ready to go. It's not like he's a soleach who will pardon if you call out. No, he's waiting for you to do anything. And as soon as you do something, it's going to be there. That's the idea behind what's learned out from over here. I've seen Hashem to you. Hashem, listen to my tefillah. And listen to the voice of my supplication over here. Adding on as much tefillahs as needed. On the day of my pain, I call out to you, Kisaneni, you will answer me, and come up Belokim. Hashem, Be'ink Masecha, there is none like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no one who does your works, who does anything like you when it comes to that. All of the nations that you have made, they will come and bow down in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they give honor to your name. This is obviously a reference to what's going to be in the future, and what's going to be over there, that everybody's going to come out to you, go out to Santa Claus, they'll see that you're so great, and that you do wonders. And you on your own, obviously, no shlichos. You don't need a malach to be able to do this for you. Everything's taken care of. Teach me, Hashem, your ways. Let me go, or I will go in your truthness. Allow my heart to be put together in order to fear your name over here. Don't allow my heart to be distracted by the yitzhara, etc., and things like that. Allow it to be yachid, together, in what I need to do over here. I thank you, Hashem Elokai, with all my heart. And I will give honor to your name forever, because your chesed is great upon me. You have saved my soul from the bottom netherworld, from the bottom levels, obviously from dying in the hands of Sheol. Elohim Zedim Kamolai, because God, all of these Zedim, and we've called them, you know, people that are over and they've been mazed, they get up against me, that's the reason, but Big Shinapshi, these violent people, they're getting up and searching for my soul. You won't allow me to be given over into those hands. People with bad mitos, won't happen. This is an interesting one. You are Hashem, the Kiel Rach Machanun. Now look at the words over here. We say Hashem, Hashem, Kiel Rach Machanun. One before you sin, one after you sin. You don't need before you sin over here because he already had sinned, David Melech. So he calls it Hashem. It is interesting that it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, but rather Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. This will be learned in that sense. But Kel Rach Machanum, Kel is a Lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows, instead of Elokim, which is Midas Adin, allowing it to happen in the right way, Rach Machanum, Erech Apayim, slow to anger, Rav Chesed Be'amet, Pnei Elai V'chanini, turn to me and give me favor, Tznoz Chalav Decha, give strength to your servant, Oshilav Adam Asecha, and deliver the son of your handmaid to be able to give it over here. We're saying that David here is going to be the focus of creation, so to speak, says the Medrash, that he says, I know that the heaven and the earth are not based on me, but nonetheless things happen because I'm the king of Bnei Yisrael, and if good things happen, then Baruch Hashem, everything works so well. So he said, this is what David Melech was saying, the whole world will gain if I gain, if you give me extra shafa, because that's what happens by the king. I say, Mosul Tova, give me a sign for good, you allow my enemies to see it and be embarrassed, because you Hashem help me and you have consoled me. This is a sign that he was asking to be forgiven. Given for what happened with Bathsheba, to allow me to see that everything was forgiven for. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that wasn't going to happen in your days. It's going to happen only by the days of Shlomo. When Shlomo wanted to open the base of Mikdash, nothing was happening. The doors wouldn't open until he said, do it for David, your servant. And as soon as Shlomo said, do it for David, your servant, then the doors opened for him, because he understood that it was really the schus of David HaMelech that allowed it. So all the enemies of David HaMelech, who always hated David HaMelech and said that he was a sinner, etc., when they saw that happened, it happened to him, they realize, like, oh, he's a great man. And not controversial, but questionable. Because Bathsheba was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And anybody who knew about it was still talking about it afterwards.
Shlomo was a questionable person to then begin.
Yes, because of the other things that he did. I don't know if he did them yet at this point.
No,
but yeah.
I think he was not from the original David Bacher, but he
no
came
question.
from
something else around there. Some say that the other, that he was asking for a sign of like, give me an extra letter to my name. And sometimes we'll see it in Tanakh where David's name is written Dalid Bav Yud Dalid instead of Dalid Bav Dalid. He asked for an extra letter in that line. I don't know. That's a strange thing. Because you're saying like, because Sarai took her Yud and went to Yoshua, right? And the Hayes took instead, etc. Billa, the hay went to Ruckel, so that Ruckel would be able to give birth. That's why she suggests Bubba over there. It's a strange thing. I don't have an answer for it. Now, it's funny because we do see a letter as a sign by Cain, where he asked for a letter to be a sign, and he got a Vav. The Vav was given to him. That was the oath that was given over to Cain. Literally a letter that anybody who sees it will be put to shame. Now, we learned that it's like horns, that he had antlers, or somehow that Cain had something that was different from everybody else. But that's the idea, that there was something that he had that other people didn't have. Alright, let's see. Pei Zion. Bnei Korach Mizmor Shir. Now Bnei Korach have a Shir. Yisidus Maharei Kodesh. And the foundation is in the Holy Mountains over here. Some say that this was really written by David Melch and he gave it to the Bnei Korach chant. The Bnei Korach chanted it afterward over here. The whole aim of this Tehillim is to speak about Yerushalayim, which is surrounded by mountains, right? Its foundation is in the Harei Kodesh, the mountains of holiness. And we want to talk about Yerushalayim and how its air is conducive for wisdom and for people to learn. That's what Yerushalayim is going to be like. And we're going to say that this is going to be the proper area for you to build the base of Mikdash. Whether David HaMelech meant that after talking about all the things that happened and he asked for an oath, maybe this was the oath that Yerushalayim is going to be the area where it's going to be. Regardless, we're going to see that there's Ruach HaKodesh, the Shechina in this area, and that's what's going to be in this area as well. Anyway, some say that this Tehillim was composed as he was sitting on the stone and foundation which stood where the base of Mikdash was, that he wrote it right there in that area itself. And that's that. Oyv Hashem Shari Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the gates of Tzion from all the other dwelling places of Yaakov. No matter what there is, any other Mishkan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts anywhere else, the base of Mikdash that's going to be in Yerushalayim is by far the greatest thing that we have when it comes to stuff like this. Some say that Shari Tzion refers to the yeshivas that are in Yerushalayim. That the yeshivas that are in Yerushalayim are places of learning, are loved more than any other shul when it comes to that. In fact, the Gemara Darshans, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Mitsharim, the gates that are Mitsuyanim Behalacha, that are excellent in Halacha. And those areas are what he loves more than anything else. And people delve into Halacha and try to figure it out.
The gates is where everything happens. Mm-hmm. Like all the judgments.
Without a question, the biggest thing was out there, the Sanhedrin. It meant the most important place of the city. And what were they doing that was so important? Here, learning Halacha. That's what we're saying over here. There's an interesting line over here. He said, I don't know who this is exactly, but he asked about whether or not a person is allowed to write down on Chol HaMoed. So I figured it worked out well for what we're dealing with right now. Can you write something down on Chol HaMoed if you're going to forget your learning otherwise? Are you allowed to do it? He ends up with the tshuva and says, even though it's usher to write, you can write on Chol HaMoed for any of these types of things. Whenever there's a chiddush being advanced, right, that goes through, that is loved by a Kadosh Baruch Hu more than anything else that is going on in the world, Hashem stops the world for it, and therefore you certainly can write it down. There should be no question whatsoever that you'd be able to write it down, even though you're dealing with something hard. Nechbados miduberbach. There are honorable things that are spoken about. You ear look himself about the city of God forever and ever. The miduberbach, the nechbados, are that it's a great climate. I don't know if they've been in Yerushalayim when it's winter and it's freezing cold with the stone walls, but at 90% of the year, 95% of the year, maybe, it's great weather. Unbelievably great weather in Yerushalayim. Bad.
I used my fall coat there.
Yeah, that's true, but inside you still need the fall coat. That's what I always had an issue with. I was never warm. I'd sit in front of a heater in order to get warm. Okay, that is true. Not anymore, but yes, I was back in the day. So we'll blame it on myself, not in Yerushalayim. Azkir Rahab uVavel Yodoi. I mention Rahab and Babel to all those who know me. In Kush Zeyulacham. I say, look, there's Pelashas and Tzur, right, together with Kush. And we say, oh, there's this guy that was born there. Each place has like a certain person that they're known for, a great meet, or somebody that's born there that's well known. But when we talk about Tzion, there's so many people who were born there who were so great, who were established upon high, right? In other words, there's like one good guy in like all these other nations and one place, you know, that goes to everybody. But us, we get everybody. We have all these people that are so chashav. Hashem Yisbar B'chsov Amin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will count among the writings of all the other nations. And I'll say, this guy's born there and this guy's born there, etc. forever. All of the singers together with the dancers, all of my fountains, and really the fountains is really the thoughts, are dealing with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're all thinking about you. Everything that deals with, comes out of Yerushalayim itself, is dealing with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us and wants us to do, etc. That's the idea of what we're dealing with over here. Okay, that deals with Pei Zayin, just about Yerushalayim itself. Now, we're going to talk about how to knock down pride, so to speak. Shir Mizmor L'Vnei Korach, Lam Natzeach, for the conductor, Al Machalas La'anos. Now, some say that Machalas La'anos is a musical instrument. That's one. Machalas La'anos could also mean the sicknesses that people have as afflictions. Maskil, a wise psalm, Haman HaAzrachi, for Haman HaAzrachi. Now, some say that Haman was the wisest of all men that were living at that time, and out of the B'nai Korach, he was the wisest. He was not one of the B'nai Korach, but he was the wisest, and they gave it over to him. Some say they gave him the song to sing, or he composed the song and gave it to the B'nai Korach. The B'nai Korach were the ones that put it all together. Either way, there's something that's going on here in which they're connecting with one another. What they wanted to do here is to figure out how, through Yisurin, God is still close with us, that God is still dealing with us and doing what we need to do, that's still happening. And that's what that we're looking for over here, that even though we're ill in Golos, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu still around us and helping us wherever we go? Hashem Elokei Yishuasi, Yonta Akti Balayla Negdecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of my salvation. On the day that I cried out in the night before you, I was ready to call out to you all the different issues that I've had and all the pleadings that I could do. Tavlo Fenecha Tfilasi, allow my tefillah to be brought in front of you, Hatzi Avzon Kolimikasi, and turn your ear to my things over songs over here. It's interesting that tefillah comes before Rina over here, where Shlomo spoke about Rina and then tefillah, but it could be that Shlomo's living in a tranquil time. That's why Rina comes first. David HaMelech needs tefillah before he can get to Rina. My soul is satiated with troubles. My life goes all the way to the grave. I'm considered like those people of the pit. I'm like a man that has absolutely no strength left. Ayol, right, is the strength of a person. Among the dead person, among the dead, I'm set apart. I'm free from everything. They covered like the corpses who were living in the grave, who were lying in the grave. They're cut off from your hand. They can't do anything. They can't add any mitzvahs. And I feel like that, says David HaMelech. I feel like I have nothing left. The line of a mesim chavshi, the Gemara Darshans, is talking about that the mesim are chavshi mina mitzvahs. There is no chi of mitzvahs by those people who are already dead. So a person who's already dead does not have a chance to do any mitzvahs. There's nothing for them, which is why some people don't bury. Well, they won't bury the four-corner begad together with tzitzis. They don't need the tzitzis on the corners. Because if they do a four-corner begad, it won't matter. Even if they get up, they're chavshi mina mitzvahs. Even if a person has chiyas a mesim, they're already chavshin and mitzvos. There's no re-chiyuv. Once chiyas ha-mesim happens and a person is brought back to life, there's no chiyuv mitzvos that comes in at that point. There's great stuff about Reb Kahana, who was brought back to life by Rabbi Yochanan, and Reb Zera, who was brought back to life by Rabbi after the Purim party. They weren't chayv mitzvos anymore. Then it was just an issue of, do you want to do something good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because there was no issue of mitzvos whatsoever when it came to that. Good stuff. Once you die, you're done. So if they actually is a mason, they were brought back to life in some way, shape, or form, there's no mitzvahs anymore. You're not chayiv in anything. You're done. Nearly. I don't really say this way. You're like a woman. Right? Shatani b'votachios, you placed me in a dark pit. In the dark places, in the very depths that are down there. Some say this referring to danger, but in Parshat Shot, in a big pit, a lysom kol kamasefa, your anger lies upon v'chomish b'rach le'inisa sela. All your billowing waves, you pressed down and allowed them to confine me to where I'm going to be. This is torture. You're allowing the worms to crawl upon me. Your fury, your wrath is all upon me wherever I go. All my friends went away from me. You made me an abomination to them. They don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm shut up. In other words, in one area I'm jailed. But what they say, I can't get out. My eyes are grieved from all the affliction I've had. I stretch out my hands to you. We learn from over here, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu did when they fought against Amalek. He lifted his hands to Shemaim to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what he did in order to get the favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven this way as well. If a person mamish needs something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't do this publicly, but if you're davening privately, you lift your 10 fingers to Shemaim in order to get out, and we learn it from this pasuk. That's what's going to be here. Great story of Rav Chassid, who said he wouldn't take anything from any man. He just davened and prayed all day long, and then Eliyahu gave him two coins. He became very wealthy. He forgot about God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Eliyahu, why did you do that? to him, you turned my only chassid away from me. So Leonavi took the money back, and he was crying, and he said, I'll give it to you if you promise to remain the same chassid that you were, and whatever it is. Fun little story. Will you do wonders for the dead? If those killed, are you going to get up and let them give you thanks? Will your chesed be told over in the grave? Among those who are lost and destroyed, is your faithfulness going to be known? Will your wonders be known in the dark in the land of oblivion? That's why I'm crying out to you, my tefillah has come up to you every morning. Why have you cast off myself? You've hidden your face from me. I'm a poor man who is dying from his youth. I've carried the terrors that you give me, and I've turned horrified away from my life. Your rage has been upon me. The terrors that you have set against me that cut me off from everything I need, they have surrounded me every single day. They go all around me and then circle me, all the enemies that are there. You've kept away from me loved ones and friends, from all my acquaintances. There's darkness, and therefore there's nothing I can do over here. There are four kinds of people that are known as being dead, and they're all hinted to in this pasuk. In pasuk vav, it says like those that lie in the grave, that somebody who has no children. In pasuk tes, it says you kept my friends far away from me. It's like a leper, a guy who has tsaras is considered like he's dead. Then somebody in pasuk yud, it mentions my eyes grieve, that refers to a blind man, and the afflictions, referring to oni, is a reference to poverty. Those are the four people that are considered as if they're dead from beforehand. Okay, we'll stop with that, guys.